Blog Talk Radio.
If I were the devil, if I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree. Thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. And the old, I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves, until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing.
Paul Harvey. Good day.
Welcome, America, to the Pitt Radio News. The Pitt stands for the Politically Inconvenient Truth. And I am your host, Glenn Atkinson, and I have a co-host named Gary Rumor up in North Dakota. You just heard, folks, Paul Harvey from 1965, and isn't it amazing how that's so many years ago, you know, over 50 years ago, 54 years ago, and everything that he said back then is still the same today. It's incredible. It's just gotten worse, and, you know, the Bible does show us through the whole Bible that it's actually going to be worse, and this is where it's become. It's terrible, but we are people that we have to stand our ground and fight for God, fight for Yah. Anyhow, welcome again to the show, and I have a co-host, like I said earlier. His name is Gary Rumor, and Gary, how are things with you up in North Dakota?
Well, it's not too bad. We had a little blizzard yesterday, but the sun is out today. It's not quite up to thawing yet, the temperature. I can't wait till it does. Is that sun? And Glenn, you've had experience up in Canada. You know what it's like when snow is on the ground and it's all white and the sun's shining on it. It's, you have to wear sunglasses. It's really hard on the eyes. So
no blindness,
Very, that's for sure. Blindness. But so I'm kind of waiting for that to thaw out. And once it thaws out, we'll have that brown earth coming through, and that'll also absorb heat from the sun and will actually warm up the atmosphere a little bit. So I'm looking for it to kind of melt and go away. And This week I'll be usually around my birthday, and this is the week of my birthday. So this is usually when it gets warmer weather. So it's, brighter days ahead. So, and I'm looking forward to listening to the birds chirp in the spring. I always kind of like that around April, of course. They start chirping, and it sounds so nice. They sing so pretty out there in the mornings and in the evenings and stuff like that. And it's kind of gloomy right now with nothing but snow on the ground and the sticks, the trees don't have any leaves on them. It's just sticks right now. They haven't branched out with leaves yet. So I'm looking forward to all that. And then, of course, the smell of the flowers, like when the irises start to bloom and the peonies start blooming, they smell so good in the spring. And that's just one of God's gifts he gives to us and stuff like that. So just another season under the sun. So anyway, that's about all up here, I guess. I've been helping my cousin a little bit, been hauling a little corn to the ethanol plant and hauling some wheat and just doing little odds and ends. So I'll turn it back to you, my friend.
All righty. Yeah, it's the weather down here also has been fairly nice, actually. Today it's cooled off a little bit for this area in Texas, but so it's around, it's going to reach about 63, I think is what they show somewhere there. So it could get a little higher, but it was pretty cool this morning. It was like 55. I think the real feel is 50, but yesterday it was like over 80. It was like eight in there, the low 80s, and the day before it was in the high 70s. So, I got this pool out there, and I'm like, I keep looking at it, and went to get the water tested and all that stuff again and whatever have you, and I put my hand in it. It was like pretty cold. It was about 55 degrees, but yet it's 88 degrees outside. I'm like, yeah, that's just temptation, but I ain't getting in that sucker. No way. Oh, freeze.
A little cold for swimming, isn't it?
Yes, it's really deceiving, though, because the temperature obviously can go quicker than the actual temperature of your 30,000 gallon pool. So it's going to take a while to heat that sucker up. But but anyways, it was about 55 degrees. I'm like, ooh, my hand was in there getting some water to be tested and that. But I was like, man, that's cold. But I got used to it. But you wouldn't want to walk into something like that or jump in. You'd be shocked. You'd have a stroke or a heart attack or something. So you don't want to be doing something like that.
No.
But it's just sad, though, because a lot of people, of course, Texas can get, too cold to swim. So next year we're looking at getting it a little more to where we can go all year round and whatever. But because it's kind of, you can only swim in it for about maybe 7 or 8 months nicely, whatever this, right? But because it does get cool here, it does get cold here, especially when November, December, January, February, March. So you got 4 or 5 months there where you can't really swim at all. So you still got that almost half a year where you can't swim. So I want to get you good use of it. So I'm gonna look into getting all that done, or have been looking into getting that done. But the weather, it's going to get nicer. And like you said, this is it usually is around the 15th of March is when things start to taper down and whatever have you, and we get it to a little higher temperatures, which is good. So what day is your birthday?
It's March 14th, I believe. That would be Thursday, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
Thursday.
That is,
okay.
Yeah, Thursday. Well, that's good. Well,
I'll be 29 years old. No, not really, but
29 and holding what? All the other years,
yeah,
right?
Holding. Let's just put it this way: I'm ancient.
Well, you know what? You feel young. We are young, and that's with me. It's amazing. I really feel. And I have, since I was 30, I've felt like I'm 30. I mean, there's some days, different things happen, whatever have you, but I have a testimony to tell you when it comes to something. As you know, I got in a car accident. I got hit from behind back in October. Well, I had an MRI done just past Thursday, and inside the MRI, I've never had one before, but it takes about 20 minutes, they say, but maybe 18, 20 minutes while you're in there. So, and of course, if you're claustrophobic, then that's not good, because your nose is basically like an inch and a half away from the top where there's like a little speaker there. Anyhow, when I was in there, and I've done this for years and years and years, and I've told people this is what you should do, but keeping in mind when you pray, when everybody prays, a prayer is wasted if you do not believe. In other words, if you don't have faith, which equals belief, and trusting in God, trusting in Yah, then if you don't have that sense of peace while you're praying and believe that that's actually gonna working, and then be patient after. If you don't, that's doubting. So therefore, it's like doubting Thomas. So here's the reason why I'm saying that, folks, is, and to you, Gary, is because we all have moments where we just are praying and we just don't feel, like when we're praying, we just don't believe really what we're praying. It's like then we get frustrated because it didn't work out, but it's because God, Yah, wants a closer relationship with us. So in that, we have to have faith. Faith without works is dead. So we do have to obey what his commandments are. That's the obedience. But when we're talking just the faith, we have to have belief, and we have to have trust in Him through the process, however long it takes, because that is what gets us to glorify Him with the testimony. And here's my testimony, folks. Okay, I'm laying in that MRI, and inside the MRI, I'm saying stuff I've said before, but I've gone a little further, and I kept repeating it for the whole time. And I'm telling you, it felt like it was only like 2 minutes, and it was a long time. But it just because when you're focused on something, you know, it just time seems to go by a little quicker, or a lot quicker actually, because you don't have the distractions of doubt and just the distractions of anything else to get in your way. Well, there's nothing going to get in my way when I'm laying there, and you have to be still as possible, or else they have to restart everything again. So that's what they told me. So mm-hmm. Here I am. Prayed. So here's what I prayed. I said, and of course, a lot of people aren't aware, but the Hebrew name for Jesus is Yeshua. Okay, that's the original. Jesus, there's not even a J in Hebrew, so that was just kind of another topic altogether. But the real name is Yeshua, Yeshua. So, anyways, and another real name for God is Yahweh, Elohim, and stuff like that. So therefore, that's the terms I've been using, because that's back to the Hebrew, that's back to the roots, that's where it's supposed to be, and I don't want no religious doctrine. So I want to use the original names as much as I can. So anyways, while I'm in this MRI, here's what's happening. This is really amazing. This is another miracle of Yah, God. Yah, short for Yahweh. So anyways, I'm in there, and here's what I'm praying. I'm praying, thank you, Yeshua, for my thank you, Yeshua, for my spirit, my set apart spirit, SEMP. I got a little thing here, how it was, and I said, thank you, Yeshua, for my emotional, mental, and physical healing. And then I would say, I kept repeating that over and over again with a smile on my face. With a smile on your face when you're praying, it shows that you're positive, you're confident, you're trusting in Yah, because you know darkness can't come where light is. And if you're smiling and really feeling the prayer and doing that, then you're really zoned into trusting. So I was saying, thank you, Yeshua, for my spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical healing. And then I would say, thank you, Yah, or thank you, Elohim, for my indwelling, set-apart spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, and the want to be obedient to you. And I kept saying that over and over and over again. I don't know, God only knows, Yah only knows how many times I said that he's the only one that counts the hair in your head. He knows everything, what you're thinking, everything. So I don't know the amount of time. My job is just to focus on trusting in Him in this prayer and what I'm asking for, because when you're asking for something in prayer and believing in it, if it's going to glorify Elohim, going to glorify our God and His kingdom, He's going to give it to you, because He knows that you're going to use it in a mighty way for Him to be glorified, and all others can see that and hear that testimony of you. So this is what I did. So like I said, I had an injury from this actual car accident, and I've been out of work since then, because I have to walk a lot with my work, and I'm not able to sit long periods of time, like, or whatever, like, you know, over 15 or 20 minutes without being really fidgety, and it really hurts my buttocks and my lower back. So, and I can't walk that long. So, and I can't, you know, it's just amazing. You know, I can't walk, I can't sit, I can't, you know, stand for too long like that. Anyways, I've been taking physiotherapy, and it just doesn't seem to be doing all it needs to do. So what happened was, While I was in this whole, you know, the MRI session, and I'm repeating that prayer as I told you, you know, thank you, Yeshua, for my spiritual, my emotional, mental, and physical healing, with a smile on my face, trusting in Him, and, you know, and thanking, you know, because we have to praise our God several times a day with a smile on our face and mean it. And that's what it is. I was praising Him, Elohim, for you know, my indwelling, set apart Holy Spirit, and my want to being obedient to His commands, to everything that He says in the hope in the Bible that we need to do to follow Him, to follow Yeshua. That's why Yeshua was sent here. It was to actually, you know, give an example for how we're supposed to live our lives. So I did this, and I did this with complete confidence, and I felt it during the whole thing. And lo and behold, here's the testimony. I am completely healed, folks. I have no problems with my nothing, my buttocks, my lower back, and have not had that since that day. I got out of there, and literally within a few minutes, I come home, and I didn't even realize. I went about my business. I went home and I lifted a couple boxes from my wife to put into a little storage closet thing. And I phoned my wife, and I was so excited. I said, honey, oh my gosh! I said, here's another miracle. And I told her, because she wasn't home; she was out. And I told her. I said, oh, here's another miracle. She says, isn't Yah just amazing? I said, yeah. And I told her, you know, exactly what I did. I did that before. I told her that, and it works. And that's what I'm saying, because now I'm able to tell people on radio, in person, whatever, about this testimony. And you know what? He knew that in advance, because He knows everything you're about to do, and knows everything you did do, and knows everything you are doing and you're thinking. So He knew I was going to come out and do this and share it with people. And this is exactly why I'm excited, because now I have to take this MRI back on Tuesday to my doctor, and he's going to see in there that everything's fine, because I was praying for this. And then they give you a CD or whatever of all that, you know, the results on that disc. So I'm going to... Now I can get things set up to go back to work, and you know, and now I can, obviously you make more money when you're working than you're not. So that's a good thing. Then I can take that money, which is God's, which is Yah's, and glorify Him more by being obedient with what He wants, because we're just managers of what He gives us. So it's a testimony, and I'm so grateful to Yah, and He knows that, because not only am I just sharing with you, but it goes on and on and on for a testimony that I've had for many, many years for different things. And this is just another one that I can share with you, Gary, and with whomever's listening and whomever will listen in archives. So, anyways, back to you. I want you just kind of maybe make a comment on what you think about that, there, Gary.
Well, it's quite amazing. I didn't know that part about it. You know, I knew about your accent and everything. And you said didn't you have a whiplash too, or something with your neck or something, neck problem.
Well, what happened? Yeah, originally what it was when I was hit from behind, I was stopped, and somebody in a Ford, an F-150 or whatever, hit me from behind. So you can just imagine the jolt I would have had. And I had a brand new car, and it was only like 3 weeks old, Camry SE, and I was just waiting for someone to turn, like, or to go past me, and then I was going to turn, and the guy come up from behind me and hit me. Well, what happened was my head went forward, and it went backwards, hit the backrest of my seat, and I went forward again, of course. So yeah, I had a neck, kind of like stiff neck, and my bell was rung. My head was, I'm not kidding, I was so disoriented. I was like, I knew sort of what was going on to some degree, you know, enough. But I was just, and it kind of got worse as I, you know, called the 911, the police, and the ambulance came and all that stuff, whatever. And I called my wife, my boss. It was while I was working that someone did this. So it's like a double whammy, you know. It's just unbelievable, so much paperwork. But anyways, you know, they were asking me, all these ambulance attendants and police were, you know, they could see I never got out of the vehicle. But what happened was after I went to the hospital and had all these tests done, all kind of stuff, whatever, the neck subsided and the disorientation went away after, I'm not sure exactly when, a while. It took quite a while because my memory wasn't as good, and certain things, I was leaving the garage door open and stuff. And like, these are things that some people do, but not me. These are just certain things that my wife witnessed that I just didn't, you know, I never did, you know, I mean, I'm not perfect, but there was just some things that were out of character, I guess is a good word for it, for me, and just different things. So she knew that my bell was still rung and I was disoriented, and I could feel it, but I had, you know, someone obviously with me that was, you know, letting me know that, yeah, things just aren't the same. So that kind of subsided. Glory to Yah, you know, glory to God for that. So that was gone, and the neck kind of went away. But I still had this lower back, and then in my buttocks, it was a real pain in the butt. You know, it's funny, but it was a real pain,
oh,
and
yeah.
It was really just. You can just imagine trying to sit down, and then, of course, it kind of shoots up your back, and back shoots down to your butt. It's just kind of like really all over the place, just not comfortable at all. And it was, you know, it was frustrating to some degree, but I was trying so hard just to let it go, let God, let Yah. And it's just a testimony to show that, you know, once you finally let go and you give in, you submit to God, to Elohim, to Yah, you know, if you just submit to Him and surrender all, because you can't do it. We know we're arrogant people. Sometimes we think it's all about us and we're in control and we can do it. Well, guess what? We can't do it without anything, without Him. And everything that we do, it has to glorify Him. But don't put ourselves up on a pedestal. And that's just so therefore, that's how it kind of progressed or and then digressed as far as different things were going, as far as my health and as far as that goes. But
mm-hmm.
I feel great now. And, you know, I mentioned also about about 30 seconds ago about, you know, basically being in control and not letting the Bible speak for itself and just playing out our part in obedience. And this is a good segue, I think, my friend, for us to talk about the government and what's going on with some of these people. You know, they are wanting to be in control, and they're not. They're not by their fruits ye shall be known. You know, you will be known by what your obedience is to God or lack thereof. And we're seeing a lot of lack thereof in the government and Congress and whatever have you. And this is why basically Donald Trump pretty much vowed to drain the swamp, because he sees it. You know, he sees all this bad things going on and whatever, and he's doing what he can. He's done a lot of things without even the help of a lot of the Congress.
To be honest with you, I have to say this. Donald Trump is actually, he just opened the petcock up to let the swamp drain out, but the Democrat Party is actually imploding. If you notice, they're pushing hard left, you know, socialism now. They're actually being honest with what they're going to do, you know, where they have to tear down every house and every building. I said, you know, that can't be done. And it's got them panicked at the same time, because people are going to remember this and they're going to vote against that. So they're actually draining their own swamp.
And you know what? Donald Trump started off with exposing all of them with their political correctness and all their agendas and whatever have you. And now they're actually what they're doing is they're playing into his hand, and they're thinking that the people are going to accept what they have to offer. And it's so far left that even Joe Biden has his head shaking his head, and a bunch of these Democrats, even they're shaking their head. So now we've got infighting going on, because we know that if you go too far left, whatever, or you go too far right, or you go to whatever extremes, people, they accept change in gradual bits, unless it's, you know, it's just a function that we have that's a normal for average people. You, Gary, or myself, or someone else can accept change really quickly, and that's great. But a lot of people, they can't, and that's why to get to this point, it's been like the frog in the pot. They had the frog in the pot, and it turned up very slowly the heat before we could even notice what was going on. Now what they're doing is they're throwing the frog in the pot that's got, you know, 7,000 degrees, and they're thinking that the frog's going to stay in it. We don't want it. We don't want that garbage. So Trump is saying, bring it on. He said at CPAC last Saturday. He said, bring it on. I hope they continue to do this, because it's just making it easier for the people to see what they like.
Yeah, and you can just see they're actually, I'll be honest with you, they're very insecure. Some of these freshman congressmen, they're very insecure.
Oh, yeah.
You got this Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. All over the place, you know. And, of course, she does not like to be criticized. And I go on her Twitter account, and I've been criticizing her. I actually told her, I said, you're embarrassing yourself. I said, the best thing you could do is resign right now, because right now she's in some hot water because of ethic violations.
Oh,
yeah. She transferred some funds. See, you're supposed to be transparent with these funds.
Right.
But they didn't say you couldn't transfer. She's transferred them over to another account where she didn't have to be transparent. And they're the same people asking for President Trump's tax records, you know, tax statements. And these guys won't give out their tax statements. They don't even want to know where the money's being spent. And they found out she gave, several thousand dollars to her boyfriend. And they're not supposed to do that. That money was supposed to be for political, not for personal reasons. And they found that part out. So, but they don't know if it's illegal or not, because that's kind of, it's kind of like in a gray area. So they're going to have to find out what's going to go on. So she may or may not be indicted on this. But if she is indicted, then she's done. I mean, she's never going to be able to serve in public office anywhere. She won't be able to become an attorney or anything like that. Once they get a criminal record, they can't even own a gun. They're not supposed to anyway. But they're not supposed to vote, own a gun, or serve in any public office. And I don't even believe they can teach school. You know, they can't even be around kids because they do a record check. And when I even worked at, and I'm sure you did too, when you worked at a jail, and we both did, they do a record check. They want to make sure you don't have any serious crimes on you. And if you work with kids, they make sure that you haven't had any, and I'm going to say this, I'm trying to keep it as clean as I can, any like sexual contact with children, you know. You don't want pedophiles around your kids because some of these people, they might appear to be very nice and stuff and very charming. And this is why they can get involved with your kids, because they can be so charming and people fall for it. And then they're molesting your kids for several years before they find out that that's been going on. You know, it's horrible. People do those things. I don't know why they do it. I think it's a sickness. I can't describe it. I'm no psychology expert or psychiatrist or anything like that. But I know in the Bible they teach very much against that, you know. And but these guys are good at what they do. They're good at manipulating people. I mean, they're not stupid. They're smart. They just happen to be very good at manipulating people into trusting them. And, you know, and the thing is, we don't want these people like teaching schools around kids, you know, or children, you know, and they shouldn't be. You know, if they're going to sit there and violate people's trust, I wouldn't want them to be a janitor in a school. I don't want them around the school. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
So anyway, I'll pass this back to you. But that's my feelings on it anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's we have the enemy, the devil, and we have God, you know, our Yah. We have him. And so therefore these people have choices. We all have choices. The same choice we have. And that is basically once we know and we have, you know, there's God out there. We have to be obedient. These people are going against what's in the Bible, and so therefore they're doing all these things, sexual, whatever things that are perverted, and whatever. And that's what it is. It's what it is. They're devious and sneaky. It's what it is. And so it's no different than a lot of the governments and whatever they're doing. They'll tell you some things, and they'll leave out the most important things. So therefore, you're being basically manipulated into believing something, and then all of a sudden, when it actually comes to pass, whatever they're trying to do, they reveal the whole truth, and therefore it's not too late, but it makes it a lot harder to reverse in a lot of ways, and so therefore that's why God tells us to have His wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and His strength, and His courage, and His patience, because if we don't, we fall upon ourselves, and therefore, like I said back earlier in the show, we're under our own control. We're under our own, and we're you know, we make mistakes. He doesn't. So therefore, we have to follow Him, because that's what Yeshua, you know, Jesus, what they call Jesus. He came here to be an example. If we don't follow Him, this is what we get. So we have to really pray and see for His wisdom, knowledge, and understanding working in ourselves, in order to expose these people that are just, you know, perverting the Bible and doing everything that is against what Yah wants for us. So that's what you're saying. These sexual predators or whatever, or these people that are doing these things, if we don't vote for someone that's actually doing God's will, Yah's will, then what's happening here is we're going to get what we deserve. I mean, that's just what it is.
Exactly.
And that's why over the past few years, slowly but surely, people are waking up. And with the president we have now, President Trump, he's exposing a lot, so he's bringing a lot of these people out. Now, with AOC, that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, A lot of people are calling AOC now because it's such a long three names to say.
Yeah, and it's hard to remember that. Some people I say occasional Cortez. I mean, I've said that. It's a hard one to remember, so I'd say AOC too. But and this Muslim lady from Minnesota, Omar, can't even pronounce her first name, Imam or I don't know. But Omar is the last name, and she's another. They're just loony. I'm sorry, but they're loony. She's pushing socialism, and they're trying to sell it, you know, like Adolf Hitler. And I said, it's no different than Adolf Hitler. And these people, I don't know who they are. They may be, they're malinformed. They're not informed properly because they think Adolf Hitler was a free market capitalist and pro-gun. And when I said, how I responded to it, I said, let's see here. Okay, he's a dictator, wants to control everybody. And yet he wants people to be armed so they can defend themselves against him. That doesn't even make sense. You know, the first thing a tyrant does, and this is what the Democratic Party's trying to do, is they disarm people. Then they try to silence them. Look what the social media is trying to do. They're trying to shut down. Look at YouTube. Facebook is bad, too. I think Facebook has gotten a little better, but they were really bad there, too. If you said something, you know, it wasn't politically correct, I mean, you got a timeout for 30 days. You couldn't come. You both had that already. And then, of course, YouTube is bad, too. If you're a conservative, they take you down. They've taken down, like, pro-gun channels, which don't promote violence. They say, oh, this is how to maintain your firearm, or this is how to clean it. They take those videos down. And there's no reason to do it, because up here in our country, firearms is a tradition, just like apple pie and mom's an apple pie. I mean, they're traditional, you know. But the thing is, they take it down, and that's how socialists work. They manipulate. And I'm going to tell you one thing. They're evil. You know, they're Satan's spawn. You know, I'm going to say it because that's what they are. They're supporting Satan. Mm-hmm. They might think they're Christians because I've had people say, oh, I'm a Christian. And then they turn around, and the first thing they do is violate the Ninth Commandment, which is, I shall not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Well, look what they tried to do to Donald Trump. That's bearing false witness. All this witch hunt stuff has been going on since the day he got elected, because they thought that Hillary, that was her birthright to be the president. But no, she lost, and she should have lost because she was corrupt. And he wasn't perfect. No, Donald Trump is not a perfect man. And I think he probably made some really stupid mistakes in the past. But he became a lot better person. He learned by him. And he's become a Christian. He's praying and stuff like that. And I hope, I do wish the best for him. Now, I don't want him to be successful in the bump fire stock ban, but I have a right to disagree with him on that. But I don't ever wish harm on him. But the left is. And look what they're trying to do.
Right.
They want to throw him. They want to throw him in prison. They don't want to only impeach him. They want to spend the rest of his life in jail. And they can't find nothing on him. That's what got them half. They're delusional. They're going crazy. Oh, we have this collusion with Russia, but there's nothing there. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And they're going, well, let's see. I want his tax statements now. I mean, they're never going to let up. I can guarantee you, if he wins the second term, my friend, this is going to go on until he's finally term limited out, until somebody else has to become president. And this is what they're going to do to any Republican president. I mean, they're attacking you and I because we support them. You know, I voted for him, so I'm called a racist. You're a racist. I said, how did you come up? Why, you voted for Trump. I said, well, that's my business. I said, I'm not a racist, and people that know Trump will tell you he's not a racist either. But they use that term. They just throw it around loosely. And I said, if you want to see what racism is, I said, look at the Democrat Party and their past and present. I said, racism is what they've, you know, the party of the KKK, and now afterbirth abortions. So I call them the cult of death. I mean, they're not. That's an evil party. When they kill innocent children, haven't done anything to anybody, they killed them. There's no trial or nothing. They just kill them if the mom wants to get rid of them. And, of course, most mothers don't want to do it. Any mom that has any conscience would never do that. I mean, they love they, even the ones that do have abortion, most mothers that have abortions, it affects them greatly. I mean, it actually they end up hating themselves. So that's the effect of an abortion. And the mothers that don't care, well, maybe they really shouldn't have kids anyway. Maybe they should have their tubes tied and be prevented to have kids, because they'd be a horrible mom anyway. Anybody that doesn't care about life really aren't going to make good parents. You know, because one of the things that when you become a parent, you know what it's like, my friend. When you become a parent, your kids, you're going to fight to protect your kids. You're not going to let anything happen to your kids. You become a mama and a papa bear. You protect your children, and that's just the way it is. You know, if you don't protect your kids, if you don't care about life, human life, then maybe go into something else, but don't become a parent, because that's the worst thing you could ever be. You know, I'm sorry I'm going to say it, but that's the way I believe. I'm sure I'm going to probably get a few people mad at me for saying that, but it's true. I really believe that in my heart. So I'll turn this back to you, my friend.
Well, you know, you said a lot of things there, and all, you know, all truth, and that's what we're here for, because you know what? We are allowed to tell people how we feel about things and whatever, and we base it on the truth, and this is how it is. So if anybody would like to join us here, you can call us. You know, you can get on here and you can give a comment or if you have a question or whatever have you, just call us at 646-787-8534. And if you press 1, that's when I'll know that you are looking to have a comment or a question. If not, you can just sit and listen through the phone, then there's nothing wrong with that. So, but we'd love to have you on here and talk about the events that were, or different current events or whatever have you, whether it be obviously of our Bible, of God, and of the politics that's going on and how the revelation of everything is showing. We'd like you to give us a call and, you know, just join us, whether it be just listening or being a part of the show with any comment or question. So also today is March 10th. And March 10th, Sunday, March 10th, 2019, and this day 9 years ago, Gary, was when I had this mishap happen the second time with them actually coming and the U.S. Marshals coming and basically they were actually supposed to be there for someone else or whatever, and that's when they called Customs Border Patrol in and they came in and. And they, you know, they claimed that I was here illegally, which I wasn't. It was later on they found out, obviously, I wasn't. But it didn't happen until after I had to go and spend 90 days. But it wasn't a sentence. It was just happened to be 90 days and whatever have you, and got out. That part started 9 years ago today. And this has been going on for almost 13, but it happened like 3 years before that, too. More garbage or whatever. But anyways, I've been going through for all these years, I should say. Pardon me. And so finally, you know, we're getting some headway with it all as far as that goes. There's been some progress in between with and whatever, but not as much as what you would think, especially after they did, you know, some wrongdoings by mistakes. But, you know, we all pay for our mistakes, and I have myself and everything, because we're not perfect. But it's also any kind of law, it also has, if there's intent behind it, you know, if you made a mistake, then it's a mistake. But if you do something with intentions, it's not really a mistake. So I let God decide with all that, because he's our Redeemer. He's the one that has the judgment. And, yes, we do have judges here in America. And some of them are going with man, and some of them are going with God. And we just have to let go and let Yah decide everything and just be trustworthy with that. But, yeah, 9 years ago today is when this last go-round of tragic events happened to me. And it's amazing when you think of it, 9 years ago. That's just crazy, isn't it? Isn't it crazy 9 years ago today?
It sure is, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing, but I just happened to, you know, I noticed that the date was March 10th, and I was telling my wife earlier, like, man, oh man, you know, sometimes it feels like it's just yesterday, because the reason why it would is because it hasn't been resolved, and I'm sure other people can understand that when whatever something takes a month or takes 10 years or whatever or in between or even longer, if things aren't resolved, it has a attachment to feeling like it's just happened still, like not long ago, because when it's not resolved, that's what happens. But I stand firm in belief that it is resolved with God, with Elohim, with our Yah. He's doing it. He's getting everything all done, and I have total confidence in him, or else I would not probably be here in America, because this is where I come to from Canada, and I believe 100% that I was compelled by God to come here, and I've had more evidence of it since day one, since I first got here, and that was almost 13 years ago this July. So we're getting there, and I know that all of this is going to be used in a mighty way for you know, basically, obviously, for a testimony, for glorifying, you know, God and His kingdom. That's just how He works. When He knows He can trust you, He and He uses you in a mighty way because He knows you're going to give it back with that testimony. So, and that's awesome. And we help a lot of people in the process with you know, basically have keeping the faith, which is belief and trusting in Him. So maybe 9 years, but we just keep pushing through. That's what we do, and that's why we have this radio show too, Gary and myself, is because we want to just basically be here to tell you the truth and show you, you know, that we're standing firm to God and our country, our families, and we're just gonna fight for the man or woman or child that you know just isn't strong enough or doesn't have the voice yet or whatever have you. We want to give them another voice here on this show, and that's the Pitt Radio News, and that's Politically Inconvenient Truth. So again, I welcome you all to join us on this show. It's every Sunday from 1 p.m. Central Standard Time. Sometimes we go for an hour, and if we have a guest and they want to go for another hour, we go, you know, at least a couple hours wherever there. So you can call us at 646-787-8534 and join us. So back to you, Gary.
Well, you're exactly right. You know, we're talking about this. You did it the right way, and you're having trouble, and there's people coming in and, you know, willy-nilly from the South especially, and they oppose this wall. And did you ever notice the Democrat Party said it was like the Berlin Wall? But there's a little lie there, a little deceit there. And I'll tell you what the deceit is. The Berlin Wall was put in to keep the people in, keep them from leaving. We want the bad riffraff to stay out. That's what the wall is being put up. So they're not really telling you the truth. But if the Democrats get their agenda through and they have this new Green Deal, they may end up putting a wall up to keep everybody in, to keep them from leaving. But then where are we going to go to? Because this United States is the last beacon of freedom, the last beacon of where you can actually make something of yourself. You whatever other countries, some places women are abused if you go to, like, Saudi Arabia. And the Democrats seem to support that kind of stuff, like Sharia law and Islam. And, you know, we're getting, well, I hate to say it, Muslims. And if they want to come in, I have no problem with them running, but then take off their hijabs or whatever they call those veils and stuff and become an American instead of coming in there and say, we want to vulcanize our laws. No, that's what they want to do. You're supposed to come in to assimilate with us, not to sit there and have Sharia law implemented here, which is contrary to our Constitution. I welcome anybody that wants to. And I met one Muslim that actually supports Israel and supports that. And I said, you're a rarity. I said, because most Muslims don't. They want to destroy Israel. I mean, if they support our allies, great. That's great. You know, I just hope they're not lying using taqiyya. But if they do, we'll give them the benefit of the doubt. And like I said, if they do that, fine. But if they come in here to raise a ruckus and destroy our country, and I think that's what a lot of them are doing. This is what your Democrat Party has become, is to destroy our country. And I go on their Twitter accounts and I say it. So far, I haven't been kicked off yet. I'm waiting to be blocked, but I haven't been kicked off. And I said, you're here to destroy our country. She said, I'm Alexandria. Ocasio-Cortez said, she said, I'm the boss. I said, no. I said, you're not the boss. You're our servant. Now she says she's a servant. I said, yeah. I said, you are a servant. You're absolutely right. But if you implement this Green Deal and implement socialism, you will become a tyrant. And this is a big difference. And we don't elect tyrants here. We have servants to serve the will of the people, not to sit there and control us, to implement stuff they have no business in controlling. I mean, most of these people, and that includes Cortez, don't have any experience in business. Yeah, she was a bartender, but that's not really experience. But they don't know anything how a business works, but yet on paper. It works on paper. Socialism works on paper. And yes, it works on paper. But then again, they forget one big element, and that's human behavior. See, you can't control human behavior. People will just say, okay, I've had enough of this. I quit. And then guess what? You're not going to get any money out of them. What are you going to do? Put them in jail? What are you going to get out of them then? Nothing. See? So that's what happens when you implement socialism, because it's so dispiriting. If they say, okay, we're going to tax 90% over $10 million, how long will this $10 million be? $1 million. Or maybe $250,000, because that's their goal eventually. $250,000, they'll say, you don't need any more. It isn't about needs, people. It's about freedom, see? $250,000 10 years from now, 20 years from now, probably won't buy a heck of a lot. Because everyone knows money's worth less and less, and that's because they keep on printing money, and the more dollar bills that come out of that printing press, the less that dollar bill is worth, because there's just that much more. It's more slices of the pie, and those slices keep getting smaller. And that's what happens. They always say, you have a pie, and you have four big slices. That's a big, huge slice. But you get it down to 100 slices, like you print $100 bills, 100 of them, I'm just making a point. The slices are going to be little slivers, see? And that's the point. There isn't going to be much there. And that's what's happening, see? So, yeah, you can pay for it by printing the money, but then you're going to hurt the economy in the big process. It's going to take twice as much, three times as much to live. See, and then you got your tax codes, which is not adjusted to inflation. So now you're stuck in the tax bracket. So there goes 40% of your income right there goes to the IRS. So, see, and the thing is, they're not telling you that. See, there's the rest of the story. They tell you the parts that they want you to hear. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. Because Adolf Hitler did the same thing. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. Everything will be free. No, it's going to be free to some, but it's going to come at a big price for many others. I mean, a very small select few will probably get some free. Your Congress will do well. Your politicians who do well, they're never going to do well because they get most of that stuff free anyway. excuse me. They get most of that stuff free. And if you ever notice, you know, they go to these parties and stuff, and the taxpayers wine and dine them. And we don't get that. And, of course, they get paid pretty well, too, at the same time. They give themselves a pay raise. And it'll adjust for the inflation. It could be 300% inflation. Well, they give themselves a 300% pay raise. And as far as the taxes, well, we'll probably exempt ourselves off from those taxes. We'll probably pay 8% or something. You know, they'll cut it down. They'll pay a little, and then you say they pay taxes. Well, they're not going to be paying much. But see how these people work? They're kind of like snakes. You know, they're kind of slither around and a little sneaky at times. You just got to kind of watch out and... I think most of your people know and your audience knows this already, but that's just the thing. They don't tell you the whole truth, people. They just tell you what they want you to hear. And, of course, the mainstream or the lamestream media is just basically an arm of the Democrat Party is what they are. You know. And look what they're trying to do. You got politicians now saying that they want, people like Fox News. They want censorship now. They want, you know, in fact, this one politician, I can't remember his name, but I have a video on YouTube of him saying, if I had my way, he said, I would control the content of speech, which you're not supposed to do. But he said that we do encourage, you know, like Twitter and YouTube and Facebook to censor. They encourage. It used to be 40 years ago, they'd be against that. They were all for free speech. But I guess since now, there's a lot of conservatives coming on, constitutionals coming on, and we're actually becoming a very powerful force against the lamestream media, and now they don't want us out there, so they want us censored or shut up, and that violates the First Amendment, see, and they're supporting it. So anyway, back to you, my friend.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and you know, you touched on, the socialism and all the far left stuff and everything. I mean, it's... You know, what I take from all this is basically Democrats, liberals, socialists, they won't tell you directly, but really what it is they believe in their rights, with no obligations. That's what they want. They want their rights. They want whatever for them, and you know, they want it, but they'll have no obligations in anything. So therefore, what it comes down to is this socialism. You know, was it Margaret Thatcher said, socialism's great until you run out of other people's money. So basically, what that really means to me is socialism can only survive with capitalism. So if you have capitalism, capitalists are ones that are out there, making the honest money out there. You know, they have a business and they're hiring people, and they're, everybody's, paying the taxes that they're, maybe they're supposed to in some areas, whatever have you. But they're generating all this money that helps bring the economy to where Donald Trump, this president, has helped. So with that capitalism, this is what we need. We need capitalism, because socialism cannot survive without it, because it's socialism depends on other people's money, and that comes from capitalism. Is that not right, Gary?
You're exactly right. But the thing is, we already have a little socialism already, and that's going to stay. Like, your Social Security is a form of socialism, but it's a little
right.
bit. That's getting bigger and bigger. If they would have privatized it, I wish they would have, because we'd be, all of us, including you, we'd all be sitting a lot better, because our money would be earning interest. It doesn't earn interest in there. You just get, actually, the taxpayers are paying my Social Security. They're paying, but I pay it into it, see? And
right.
You got to be on it no matter what. Socialism is not free will. It's forced on you. Just like this health care. They say health care is a right. But, see, they call them positive rights, and I believe in negative rights as negative and positive rights. Your Constitution mm-hmm. is based on negative rights. What that means is negative rights means if you exercise your rights, you exercise Second Amendment rights, the government isn't going to buy your guns for you. You got to pay for them yourself, see, by hard work. You get to keep your money. Mm-hmm. Positive rights is and I think I got it right, but positive rights is like, okay, healthcare is a right. Like, it should be provided to you for free. It can't be, but that's what they want. See, that's a right. That's the difference between us. Yes, you have a right to buy it, and the Democrats messed it all up because there's some Republicans. I can't say no. I'm not going to let Republicans off the hook because some
right.
of them. But they sat there and they regulated it. That's what made the prices skyrocket. Well, then, if you notice, insurance wasn't too bad when you first come here. Insurance was reasonable. You could afford it. Now, when they meddled around with it, now insurance is so high you can't afford the insurance either. So now they want to go to the public option. See, they fix things that cause more problems. And the Democrats are really bad at that. They come up with fixes, and the fixes cause a lot of more problems and make things more expensive. So we'll fix that now. We'll go to public option. Everything is free. Well, I'll tell you something. How many doctors are going to work for nothing? They're going to walk off. You might have one or two doctors. Where the government pays the doctors, they're not going to pay them very much. And there's a lot of risks they take. Look at the malpractice insurance and stuff. That's very expensive. And doctors are being sued all the time, sometimes maybe not even justified so. But the problem is, this is the thing. They earn the money. This is what capital is. A little competition helps keep the prices down. But what they're doing, they're going to have a controlled, no competition. See, this, you won't be able to have insurance anymore. If you want insurance, socialism removes choices. So you can't have it. They're getting rid of it. Even Bernie Sanders said, we're going to shut it down. We'll have the public option, Medicare for all. How is Medicare going to work for all? Because that's going to be tremendously expensive. And what's going to happen? It's going to shut it down. You run out of money. See, that's the problem with it. See, it's not going to go on and on. It can't. You might last a couple of years. I mean, Adolf Hitler, I listened to this Kitty Werthmann. That was really interesting. She said when it started out, it was really great. Worked for a couple, 2-3 years. Then all at once, things started running out of money. And then they started forcing you to work. They took your guns away. And then they didn't have any value for human life. If you listened to propaganda that you weren't supposed to listen to, that was death sentence. That's what she said. You got the death sentence. If you kept a gun when they had you turn them in, you kept a gun. That won't happen here. They aren't going to have the death sentence, but he said that was a death sentence over there. You got executed. And over here, it's going to be almost as bad, because if they ever implement confiscation and you decide to keep your guns and you get caught with it, with a firearm, it'll probably be life imprisonment. I mean, you'll probably be treated worse than a murderer who actually goes out and murders people. See, everything's so screwed up right now. I mean, look at the IRS. If you didn't pay your taxes, you'll get more years in prison than most murderers get, who should be spending the rest of their life in prison. Tax violation, it's not a violent crime. It is not a violent crime. Murder is. I don't
That's
feel
right.
threatened by somebody who evades taxes. Now, I'm not saying they should get away with not paying taxes. I'm just saying make the punishment fit the crime. Maybe give them 5 years or something if they don't pay the taxes, and give murderers life. Because 5 years, they're not going to be a threat, and try to encourage them to get back to work and pay back their taxes, you know, and do that. Give them the opportunity to do it. Because we just throw them in jail for 25, 30 years. You cost taxpayers a lot of money keeping them there, because they're not going to earn money in jail, not enough to pay anything anyway. But get them out there and do what you can to get them back in the workforce, and get them so they don't have to live with that skeleton in your closet. You know, I pay my taxes. I've always paid them. Not that I like to, but I paid them. And like I said, sometimes you got to make adjustments. You know, you can't, maybe you can't buy this car you once really wanted to buy because the taxes take too much of your capital away. So you just have to wait and save up for it and wait for another year. So that's the way it is. Now, I'm not for high taxation. I try to cut taxes. I try to go to my legislators, and it's almost impossible. I have to say it's almost impossible. But I try to do it the right way, and that's to have them legislate lower tax rates, which is the right way to deal with it. That way you don't have to worry about going to jail. See, and it's the same thing with anything else. We have hunting laws, and at one time when you go bow hunting, they wouldn't let you carry any firearm. Well, I said, what about cougar attacks? Because there's been sightings of cougars. And now I said, why don't you let people carry a handgun for self-defense purposes? And by golly, now you can. So the legislature got a hold of that, and they changed the law. So that's the way to change laws. That's the right way to deal with it. And sometimes you got to fight like heck to do it. So, but anyway, we'll go back to you, my friend.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, you're exactly right. And, you know, and that's the thing is it takes a while. It's a process to get things proper, but we do it within the law, and that's what you and I do, and many other people do. But there is some people out there that would rather take the law in their own hands, and because they want to get done quicker, or whatever. But you know, anything we're doing, that it, you know, if there's a law against it, then we got to actually if we don't believe in that law or whatever, that's why we actually vote people out or vote people in or whatever, and then help be part of the process to changing something, because it's a democracy. So it's basically the majority will win, and that's just how it works. But getting there honestly is what we have to do. So that's the whole thing. The same with me coming over here from Canada. I have to assimilate. I can't just come over here and just walk across the border and just say, I'm here, okay, start feeding me or whatever. Like, I mean, no, you have to know where you're going, where you're coming from, yeah. But you have to know where you're going to, and you have to assimilate. There is laws within each county, let alone each country. So therefore, there's the borders are the laws also. So in other words, if you go into one county or one city or whatever, there's laws that you have to abide by. And if you don't, wherever you're living, if you are a citizen, you have the right to be part of that process to change it. Now, if you come here from another country or whatever and you don't agree with something, then tough luck. That's just the way it is, because you came here to get away from where you were, or else you wouldn't have left where you were. Well, why would you want to come here and make this your own country or your own the way it was where you were? You might as well have just stayed where you were. So therefore, I understand there's some laws that need to be fine-tuned and tweaked and whatever have been changed because, you know, government does what they do sometimes and things are maybe not the way it should be, even obviously of the Bible. So, but the thing is we have a democracy here, and that is basically we have to be within that by law. So, because even the Bible says we have to obey the civil laws. Okay, and if they're wrong, then you got to be part of the process. If they're being abused or whatever have you, like the laws or whatever have you, or changed or whatever without a democracy or whatever have you and whatnot. In this country, we have a constitution, and we have the if we are legal, we are entitled to vote. We don't have to. We don't have to be told you have to vote. We don't have to register. But they're even trying to do that. They're saying we want to even some places they want you even to be forced to register. And I mean, that's the thing is, I encourage people to, and just like our God encourages everybody to do His will, but He's not going to push it on you, folks. He's going to say, here, you have free will, and you have my will. If you choose free will, you're going to make a lot of mistakes.
And if you choose, so therefore, any government or anybody that wants to play God, tell you, they have a judgment that's not going to be so pleasing to them in the end. And that's why we come here, we assimilate, and we find out what the laws are, whatever, we go accordingly. We don't just, oh, there's a stop sign there, it shouldn't be there, I'm just going to keep going right through. No, you can't. You can't do that, folks. You gotta. If you don't like that, you don't believe that stop sign should be there for whatever reason, then you have a voice to say something about it. And then or if you believe that there's no stop sign there and there should be one there, then there's a process and you have to go through that in order to change something. You can't just change it on your own and expect everything's good. With people coming over here with Congress saying that they're going to do this, they're going to do that. Well, they can only do it if we allow them to, folks. And if we're not being tapped into God's wisdom, knowledge, understanding, strength, courage, and all that stuff that we need to have of His, then we're going to make a lot of mistakes and we're going to vote the wrong people in. It's our job to research, to educate ourselves, and then tell the truth. And if people and don't expect other people to believe you. What you do is like we do in the show. We tell people this is what we have learned. We don't want you to believe us. We want you to research, and then therefore you'll find out that we're telling you the truth. So we're not pushing anything on anybody, and that's basically what we're here for: is to just give a voice to have other people understand that we cannot break the laws. We have to change the laws. If that's the case, but they can be changed in a process. And so that's what we are here for at the Politically Inconvenient Truth, the Pitt Radio News. And, it looks like we're at the end of the show here too, my friend. I'll give you some last comments if you wish, and then we'll close the show.
Okay, I turned on the microphone. Anyway, you're exactly right, and it's been a good show this time. And like I said, we just have to keep I guess you just have to keep in the battle for freedom, because like I said, this is the last place on earth. I mean, where are you going to go to after this is shut down? Once America's shut down and we have no freedom here, where do we go? I mean, you can't go any other place. And we have to fight tyranny at all costs, because tyranny is evil. And that's, like I said, and I get a kick out of the Democrat Party. They want us to pay reparations for slavery. So I said, okay, let's just go down this path for a little bit here. Maybe we should make the Democrat Party pay for reparations. After all, they were the party of the KKK. It wasn't the Republicans. So maybe just the Democrat Party should be paying reparations. How does that sound, people? That's what I said. So, but it's true. I mean, I opposed slavery since I was young, but the Democrat Party, they were against blacks. Even in the 60s, I still remember, where they wouldn't let blacks, wouldn't let them use the same bathrooms as whites. That was your Democrat Party, the party of segregation, the party of KKK, and now, recently, we call it the cult of death. So I'll turn this back to you, and you can wrap her up, my friend.
Okay, my friend. Yep, that's exactly right. We, they just don't care. They're all about themselves, and power, money, greed, and it's just a selfish way of being. And the thing is that they're supposed to represent, the people. And when they say that they're going to represent the people of the different policies or issues, they do that to get votes to get in. And then when they get in, they change everything. And really, what it is. That's what they actually wanted in the first place, is what they're doing. And that's how they manipulate. And that's not fair to the people. And that's why we need our research, folks, to find out who is lying and who is telling the truth. And if we don't do any research, as far as I'm concerned, if we just vote them in without doing research, then we earned from that what we got. And we have no voice to complain when we haven't done what we're supposed to do. Because people will complain and they'll say, oh, well, I wish this was this way. Well, you know what? If you really do, you really truly do wish it was different, then be part of the process to being in the grassroots and voting locally right up through to the presidential campaigns, everything. You got to be part of the process. If you really, really want to have change, and then you'll be a voice in that change. And then you'll see some efforts, and you'll have your desired results a lot more easier than actually making a complaint, because complaining is draining. If you have no action behind that, you shouldn't complain, but you should just actually go ahead and be part of a process to correction. And then, therefore, when that happens, we will actually have a lot more peace within ourselves, knowing that at least we as individuals have done something. On that note, you can join us here every Sunday, set the standard time, 1 p.m., on the Pitt Radio News, the Politically Inconvenient Truth, 646-787-8534. Have any comments or questions, please press 1, and we'll get you on here. Thank you very much, America. We enjoyed having you with us, and we'll see you next time, next Sunday. God bless you all. Y'all bless everyone and their families. And same with you, my friend up in North Dakota, Gary.
Mm-hmm.
God bless you and your family.
Well, God bless you, and God bless your family too, my friend. So we'll talk to you next Sunday. That sounds great.
Thank you very much. And we're going to end with Hard Work with Paul Harvey, as we always do. And that's what we're trying to get people to do, is just do some hard work, real honest to God hard work. Here's Paul Harvey.
American preachers tell me that there is no sermon which is looked forward to with less enthusiasm than a sermon about sin. Well, that's probably true if we're talking about a secular sermon on the subject of hard work. There is no gospel less popular than the gospel of hard work. I could ask you today, I could ask you right now to demonstrate your faith in America by handing poison to snakes, and many or most of you would. I could outline a fundamental Christian code of conduct which strictly forbids the use of stimulants or sedatives or the wearing of jewelry, and many would, willingly and without question, accept and be bound by such abstinence. Our leaders could readily rally you to fight and die for your country, as they have many times, and you would even again. But if Paul Harvey or any politician should state that our only chance for survival is to get off our dead centers and get to work, well, I'd be lucky if you'd let me finish. But I'm going to test my luck today. You see, I don't happen to be running for or from anything, and that does make a difference. The pregnant skyline of America was set in place one brick at a time. Now, that represents a lot of calluses. America the Beautiful is not an accomplished fact guaranteed to remain intact. God shed his grace on thee, to be sure, but this was wasteland when God had it to himself. He handed man a hoe and said, "You want another Eden? All right, earn it." And all that's necessary for the weeds to take over again is for you and me to lay down that hoe. Now, Americans, the problem is less acute today than it has been. We're on the right track right now. But if we sit down on that track, I'm afraid we're going to get run over. We tell our young people how our country was carved out of the wilderness. No, it wasn't. Our nation was not carved out of the wilderness. Our nation was hammered and hoed and chopped and dug and sawed and clawed out of the wilderness by barehanded men who asked nothing for nothing. America did not start out with an agricultural production that's the awe and envy of the world. It was seeded first by sod-busting farmers who fought Indians and ranchers and cold and heat and drought and bugs and flood and one another. The fruited plain sprang forth from barren acres only after they had been watered with a lot of sweat. I guess what I'm saying is that the more history I study, ours and others, the more certain I am that there is one fertilizer essential to the survival of civilization, and that fertilizer is sweat. And I don't mean perspiration. I mean the kind of steamy, streamy, salty sweat that's wrung from a man by hard physical work. Somehow, the sweat gets into the soil of a farm or a factory or a city or a state or a nation, and everything thereabouts grows tall and strong and tough enough to stand against any storm. But the day the sweat dries up, the soil dries up, and whole civilizations are buried in dust.